Right now, it is time to bring in Dan Henry and take a look at the forecast.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having me, as always.
Well, you know, we'll get to our boring forecast in just a moment, but I've been dying to talk to you about your experience in the hurricane, because you were right in its path, were you not?
Yes, you are correct. I more or less was, and it certainly was quite an experience. I've been in Florida for nearly 20 years. I've been very close to Charlie, Hurricane Charlie, Category 4 in 2004. Hurricane Wilma, I believe that was a 3 or a 4 in 2005, and this was by far the worst for us in the Southwest Florida area in the 20 years that I've been here, and I think even going back farther than that, just devastating. And I got really lucky personally. I'm in Sarasota, so I was, let's say, about 35 miles northwest of where the eye made landfall, near the Sanibel, Captiva, Fort Myers, Cape Coral area, Charlotte Harbor. And so I just missed the northwest eye wall, because the eye wall was quite wide in the storm, and hurricane force winds extended out 30-some miles on either side. It was a remarkably symmetric storm, but we just missed the very worst of it at my house. I had very minor damage. My friends just 10, 15 miles south, just a couple of interstate exits south, had the floodwaters rise nearly to their door. I had one friend who, she unfortunately had to be rescued from her house by a boat with her boyfriend and their two kids. And that was in Northport, where some of the really worst flooding ended up. What was really remarkable, at least in my neighborhood, is how even though we had 20, 30, 40 foot down trees and roads were blocked, everybody just got to work. And, you know, those of us that had the equipment to help out, you know, got out and did that. And, you know, I helped a few people put up shutters that were, you know, some of my neighbors are a little older than me, and it tends to be the story here in Florida anyway. But we put up a bunch of shutters for people, took them back down and cleared out trees, and everybody kind of banded together. We got the power back on after 3-4 days for most everybody, and it was really just remarkable how everybody banded together. But in the moment, it was scary. It was really scary, because I was just another person. You know, it's easy to sit behind the mic here and, you know, do the thing where I tell people, oh yeah, here's the weather, but it's a whole different ballgame when it's your city, you know, when you're the person that it's bearing down on. And it was a life-changing experience that I will never forget, to have 110-mile-an-hour wind gusts, you know, my neighbor's fence coming down in my backyard, and just wondering what's going to come down next.
You know, and it's interesting talking to you, because you saw 110, and there were video from people that were shooting where there was 130 to 150. It was just amazing to see, first of all, the palm trees bend like they bent, but then to see the main drag in Fort Myers fill up with what appeared to be 15 feet of water, and it looked like you were out in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, and you know what's crazy is I didn't really know, and we didn't really know how bad it was down there until most of the rest of the country did, because we didn't have power, cable, internet for days. So I remember it was not even until like 36 hours later that I got to a friend's house who finally got the power back on, and I took a shower at his place, and then we turned the TV on and we were seeing the images coming out of there. And I think that everybody else had known for a while, but it was just, I mean, it was unbelievable to watch and know that could have been us with just a little jog or a little chance movement of the storm north. That would have been our neighborhood, you know, drowned like that. And so obviously our thoughts are definitely still with the folks down there recovering. It's just been, you know, truck after truck, the 2 million, I think, linemen from FPL, Florida Power and Light, getting the lights back on, and everybody banding together to just do their best. And it's just, you know, it's just a reminder of the power of nature and how we live. We kind of tempt nature. We kind of tempt fate by living down this far south next to the bathtub we call the Gulf of Mexico, and that this can happen, and it will happen. But, you know, it's home for a lot of us, so it's hard to leave.
Well, I don't understand, and maybe this will cure it, the people that stayed behind, because there's no way. The only way you survive this is by pure luck. Pure luck. You know, what does it take for people to evacuate?
There's been a lot of hand-wringing down here. There's been a lot of finger-pointing at the you know, higher levels of government and, you know, people saying, well, all the meteorologists said Tampa, Tampa, Tampa. But you could look at the forecast cone, and it was always Tampa to Fort Myers, or maybe a little west. It included the panhandle at one point because the cone is wider, you know, as time goes out, because uncertainty is higher as time increases. So, you know, at one point there was the possibility that it could have been anywhere between Tallahassee and Fort Myers, Naples, for the center of the storm. And I think people, I want to say people hear what they want to hear sometimes. And there's always this sort of sense that, oh, it's going to miss here. And, you know, my own dad was skeptical. Oh, I think we're just going to get a little wind and rain. And I had friends and neighbors, you know, with absolutely no clue telling me, oh, well, I heard this model, computer model said this. And there's a lot of rumors that get spread. And because there have been so many near misses, I think there's a little bit of a lull that people kind of got complacent and they forgot that it can happen and it will happen. And I think that the track, you know, the eventual storm track being on the rightward side of the cone did catch people by surprise. And whether that's a messaging fault of the National Hurricane Center that needs to be clarified in the future, I think there's probably some truth to that. But I think there's also some truth to the fact that people just simply didn't take the precautions that they should have, just as you sort of suggested.
All right. Well, let's take a look at our boring forecast for the beginning of the week.
Well, a lot better than that. I can tell you that. Starting off cool, obviously, each and every morning, but actually the 70s return, I think, by Tuesday. But today, clouds and sun, seasonably mild, mid-60s for a high, normal high 66. Tonight, mostly clear and cool, low 40s for a low. Tuesday, plenty of sun and trending warmer, near 70 in the afternoon. Wednesday, pretty similar, partly sunny, near 70. Rain returns to the forecast with the next significant cold front pushing through on Thursday. Overcast and breezy with showers likely in the forecast, and maybe a rumble of thunder as well. We'll get to near 70 before the rain moves in.
Now, for people that complained that they didn't know, I'm sorry, I'm not a big fan of Ron DeSantis, but 3 days before the storm, he mentioned that it was going to be a bad storm. They put up evacuation orders, and sooner or later some towns got to make these evacuation orders mandatory, plain and simple, because you know people just are willing to take the chance. Up here in New England, we have a saying: when a nor'easter is coming, prepare for the worst and hope for the best. Prepare for 2 feet of snow if they predict it, and if it doesn't come, just be happy that it didn't come.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, it's always great speaking to you. I'm glad you're okay, and obviously we'll speak to you again, but I'm glad you made it through okay.
Thank you for checking in on me. Appreciate you letting me tell the story from down here, and glad you guys are doing better up north.
All right. Take care.
Thanks.
That's our forecast for this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio.